I'm just going to mop up a bit of this water. Davis, actually, can you come and help, please? I don't want anyone falling over at communion. So I'll just give you that, and then perhaps you can do that for me. Oh, 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 oh! Come, come on. Yeah. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Look, look, look. Look, you know, it's just like this. Just like this. Okay. 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 All right. Oh, let me help you. Let me help you. We'll do it together. Okay. All right. There we go. Oh, that's it. That's it. Hey. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. So, right, now I've got rid of the water. Has anyone seen Anatoly? Anyone seen it? David has, yeah? Yes. He's a Ukrainian weightlifter, but he pretends to be a janitor. And he goes in to these gyms and he says, oh, you know, can I try that? You know, and they're lifting these great heavyweights. They say, no way. There's no way you're going to be able to lift that. And he goes, well, can I try? And he's got this mop. And he's been doing this. And he said, look, perhaps you can take that mop for me, and then I'll have a go. And the mop actually weighs 32 kg. So when he gives it to them, it drops to the ground. And you think, what on earth has that got to do with what we're talking about today? It's about Jesus bearing our burdens. And I'll come back to that a bit later on. So the beginning of that reading seems quite negative, doesn't it? John's disciples have been there and Jesus, they've come and they've said to Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Can we get, you know, John's sent us, he wants to know. And he says, go on, go back to John and tell him yes. Tell him all that you've seen. And then they go away. And then he turns to the crowd. And then he's obviously got quite frustrated, I think. You often hear it sometimes when he's talking to his disciples. But I think he was particularly frustrated with this. N.T. Wright calls this little bit of passage a clash between the wisdom of the world and the unforced rhythms of God's kingdom. Because there is this tension in this whole passage. And first of all, he gets really cross with them because he said, look, I sent John the Baptist, you know, and you went out, and what did you expect? Then you start criticizing him because he's fasting and he looks a bit weird and you think he's got a demon, you know? And so then you've got me, and I'm dressed quite well. I eat and I drink and I drink with, go and feast with sinners and celebrate. And then I'm wrong because I'm a glutton and a drunkard. And you can see his frustration, you know. He said, John is the best prophet up until this moment in time. Why? Because he's the promised Elijah, the one who's going to be preparing the way. John even recognized Jesus when he was in the womb, or when they were both in the womb. So he's the greatest, if you like, of prophets, not because he's better than any of the previous ones, but because he has been the one to give the news of the Messiah. And so then you can see he's getting really wound up now. And he starts going on about all these places where he's done all these miracles and everybody's asking for a miracle. And he does these miracles and even they do not repent. And he said, if I did half of what I did in some of those towns in Tyre and Sidon, if I did half of that, they would believe. And the same with Sodom. You know, if they had been and seen some of the things that I've been doing and teaching you about, they too would still be here. So you can hear this frustration. I can almost feel it sort of bubbling along. And then, boom. He starts praying. What does he do when he prays? What's the first thing he does? Is he thanks God. He gives thanks to God for giving the wisdom to the children, not to the wise. So he's thanking God for what God is doing. He then goes on and he talks about and gives thanks that he knows the Father and the Father knows the Son. He gives thanks for his relationship with God. And that whole thing then shifts what he's doing and what he's saying. Because then we get into those beautiful passage where it's come to me, all her weary and burdens, and I will give you rest. He's gone from berating them to giving them blessing. I love it though when in the Message version it says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? I can feel like that sometimes. And he says, come to me, get away with me, you know, draw into a quiet space and place, be with me, and you'll recover your life. What a beautiful picture. And this is not about just being exhausted from normal life living. This is a release from the oppression of the rules and the regulations and the burden of purity code and the burdens of the work that were imposed by the Pharisees. He's saying, you know, come. My yoke is easy. And they would have immediately had that impression of being of what being yoked was. Two things. First of all, it used to be they used to put two oxen together to push the heavy load. A bit like Davis and I pushing the broom, taking the heavy load. So you've got that image. But also, the yoke was always the yoke of the Pharisees, the yoke of the rabbi. You would take on the yoke of your teacher, whatever that might be. You would follow their teachings. You would be they would be walking alongside you. You'd be walking alongside them. They would help share your burden. And in Jesus' case, he's saying, my burden's really light. My burden's light. You don't have to have all these rules and regulations. All you have to do is love. Love and suffer for the world, as I do. And it's not going to be easy. He says it's easy, but it's not easy. It's only easy. Why? Because we have got Jesus taking the burden. Jesus takes the heavy burden. And we still join in with that. But it's easy because he's with us. And it made me think about baptism. That's what we do at baptism. We become yoked to Christ in baptism. He takes the heavy load. And I suppose my encouragement is, you know, there are times when life does get tough, life gets hard, and we get frustrated, and we look around the world, and we think, what can I do? And there's all this and going on, and blah, blah, blah. What do? We should draw apart. We should praise God. We should thank him for what he's doing. And as we do so, the load is lifted. It doesn't go away, but it's lifted. And we're not doing it on our own. We're doing it with Jesus. What a beautiful picture that we have. We don't have to rut, don't have to struggle. We don't have to strive. We just have to draw aside. Invite Jesus to come and help pull the load. And our life becomes more full. And we're more able to cope with what God has given us. And God brings beauty from that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. That you do indeed carry our heavy loads when we can't carry them alone. We pray that in difficult times that we will turn to you, that we will praise you for what you are doing, that we will thank you for the relationship that we have so that we can be burdened under you, under your yoke, which is light. And then we can continue to walk in the life that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.